be finding in God's Word tonight, Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. And if you would rise as we honor God with the reading of His Word tonight, Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And oh Lord God, we just thank you tonight that we can come to a passage of Scripture. Lord, we've talked over the course of the last few weeks about being Spirit-filled, what that means. But Lord, tonight you're going to talk to us about spiritual gifts. And Lord, as we discuss them tonight, I pray that each and every one of us would take the gift or the gifts that you've given us. And Lord, that we would employ them in serving you. And Lord, let us do it. In everything we do, as the Bible says, let us do it heartily as unto the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Before I begin, I also want to just ask you to bow your heads and join me in prayer for Israel tonight. Father God, as this conflict in Israel increases, as the United States is being drawn over, as other nations are now coming into the Gulf, Lord, we ask your mercies upon your chosen people. Lord, we know that many of your chosen people have rejected their Messiah, but Father, we do also know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we do pray that in the midst of this conflict, that many Jews would call upon Jesus and be saved. Lord, we pray for peace, yet knowing that peace will never come until Jesus comes. And so, Lord, right now we're like Paul when he wrote to the Philippians, a desire to be with Christ. And Lord, we just pray that we're one step closer, we know, Lord, to the coming of the rapture of the church, the age of grace, Father, and only you know the time. The age of grace could very well be closing. Lord, this may be the coming time when you're going to begin to deal with Israel once again. And Lord, we just pray for the last soul to be saved, and then boom, the rapture is going to happen. Lord, we pray for this world tonight, and we pray for souls to make certain that their hearts are right with you. We pray for lives to be right with you. And Lord God, we ask your abundant mercy to be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Now I want to share with you tonight that, you know, you're special. And I just want to ask you a question. When's the last time you looked in the mirror? And you said, you know, I'm special. When's the last time you looked into the mirror of God's Word and recognized that when God saved you from your sins, He saved you because you are special unto Him? God created you. God gave you life. He knew that you and I were going to walk in darkness for a time, but He also saw the day when we would come to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And in that moment and in that time, God did a mighty work within us. He not only put His Spirit within us, but He gave us gifts and He gave us talents. And basically, how many of you ever said to your son or your daughter when they were little, you're special? And that's what God says to us. We're special. And so you are a gifted child. And I don't know if you've ever thought of yourself that way before. I don't know if you've ever looked in the mirror and said, God, you've saved me, and you've gifted me, you've talented me. I don't know if you've ever thanked God. Thank God you've made me a gifted child. But friend, you need to know, as a member of God's family, you are a gifted child. You're something special. And you may not think you're not gifted. You may not think you're special, because isn't it true we have a tendency, and we think about all the things that we have done wrong, don't we? We think about all the sin, and we wonder how anybody could ever love us to save us in the first place. We wonder how we could ever be considered special when we have messed up so very much and so very bad. And yet God says we're special. And God has given us gifts and testimony. But God says right here in His Word, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And we're not all the same. I mean, could you imagine having a church full of just Pastor Don's? Everybody the same. That would be pretty boring in a heartbeat, wouldn't it? But I mean, we need everything. We need a choir, and we got a choir. We need a song leader, and God has given this church a blessed song leader. We need Sunday school teachers, and God has given us them. And we need deacons, and God has given us them. We need people to work the Welcome Center, and God has given us a Joyce. God is so good, isn't He? And I mean, we even need people to drive the bus so y'all could go out and stay all night last night, get home late, and then come to church bleary-eyed this morning. But y'all done good. You done good. But our God is an awesome God. You know, Alexander the Great once gave a beautiful, priceless golden cup to a lowly servant. And when the lowly servant saw the gift, he said, "It is too much for me to receive." And Alexander the Great drew himself up and he said, "Well, it's not too much for me to give." And it wasn't too much for God to give to us. Now I want you to imagine something, men or ladies. Imagine you had a special gift and you took it home for your honey. And you put it on the table. And you said, "This is for you." But they never opened it. They never took a hold of it. They never shook it. They just left it. Would you not be disappointed? How many men would be crestfallen if they brought home a special gift for their wife and their wife just left it sit there? As if your love didn't matter? As if your effort wasn't appreciated? Would we not be disappointed? And you know something else? They would not have the joy of receiving it, nor the joy of using it. Now you need to know something about the gifts that God has given us. One day you and I, we're going to go before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a promise. The Bible says we all must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you've had your sins judged at the cross, don't think you're going to have to go up there and God's going to say, "You know, Robert, what about this?" And you're going to have to give an account for all that, because that's not what that's about. That's judged in the here and now. But God is giving you gifts, and He's going to say, "Now, Robert, what did you do with this gift? Or Jerry, what did you do with this? How did you employ what I gave you?" We're going to have to give an account. With what we did with the spiritual gift that God gave us. You know, in church life, we're kind of divided up sometimes, aren't we? We have clergy, and they're the paid people, and we have the laity, and that's you people. And the little girl was once asked to try to explain. A teacher asked the little girl, hey, can you explain to me the difference between the clergy and the laity? And the little girl thought for a moment, and she said, well, the clergy are paid to be good, and the laity, they're good for nothing. And what God wants us to do is to understand and to help us not to be good for nothing, but to be good for something. And I want you to know that God has a ministry for each one of his children. And so let's get this straight from the start. You are a gifted child. And if nothing else happens here tonight, I hope when you go home, you will look in the mirror and you will say, thank you, God, for making me one of your gifted children. Now, knowing this brings me to a second point, and that is we need to start unwrapping it. You know, when I hear people as they do sometimes come, and through 26 years of ministry now, I've had people come to me and they've said, I'm frustrated in my Christian life. I'm just not moving forward. I don't seem to be doing anything. And I'm not making any progress. And my question is always this, what are you doing for Jesus? Friend, what are you doing for Jesus? You see, most of the complainers at church are those who are doing nothing for Jesus. And you know as well as I do that some folks come to church just to sit and soak and sour. And their problem is that they need to take the gift that God has given them and they need to start employing it for God. They need to discover what their ministry gift is and put that gift to work for the Lord. There are three kinds of people that I know from experience in every single church, world over. You can leave here tonight and you can go to Lebanon Baptist, you're going to find the same three people. You'll find them up at Rosedale. You'll find them all the way across the state at Beulah. You'll find them up in New York. I know that might be hard for some of you to believe, but you're going to find them up there. You know what those three groups are? Those who make things happen. Those who watch things happen, and those who don't even know what's happening. Those three groups. And most folks are observers, most folks are watchers who have never really gone to work for God. They come to church, they sit in church, they listen at church, and do you know what? They call that service. That's not service. Service begins when we leave the building. And someone once said, the average church is like a football team. There's 22 players down there on the field desperately in need of rest, and up in the stands are 50,000 people who are screaming their lungs out desperately in need of exercise. You know, that's what we have in the church far too often, and not to be so. Because God has called us to serve him. And how has God called us to serve him? With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And everything. Do it heartily, as unto the Lord. When Brother Robert goes out tomorrow to do his business and the business that he's in, he's to do that how? Heartily unto the Lord. When I see Brother Dwight down there with his weed whacker going along that bank, how's he to do it? He's to do it heartily unto the Lord. When Sister Joyce comes in here tomorrow and she gets ready to go to work, how's she to do it? You know the answer. Heartily as unto the Lord. No matter what we do, we're to do it heartily as unto the Lord because God has called us to serve him. But more importantly, God has called us and equipped us to serve him. That means you've got to take and discover what your spiritual gift is. And then you got to employ it, and you got to develop it, and you got to deploy it for Jesus Christ. And remember one day, and neither you nor I know the day or the hour, we don't know when God's going to call us, do we? But in that moment, because you're a child of God and God's going to call you, do you know where you're going to be? Front and center at the judgment seat of Christ. And then he's going to ask you, what did you do with the life that I gave you? How did you take the gifts that I gave you? We're going to stand before God. And like the parable, one man had five and he went out and he gained another five. One man had two and he went out and gained another two. And you remember that one man who only had one, he did absolutely nothing with it. Who among those three did Jesus have the harsh words for? Who among those three did Jesus cast out? And how many among those three heard Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? Have you discovered your spiritual gift? I want to focus for the next few moments on discovering our gifts, and I'd like you to look with me in Romans chapter 12. I hope you have your Bibles open. I want you to go back to verse 1. Paul is speaking and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. In other words, I urge you, I encourage you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living what? What is God saying to you? You're not your own. You're not your own. God has called us, how do we know that? Because God has called us to be a living sacrifice. And we have to be willing to do just that. When Jesus said, if any man will follow me, let him take up his cross. The cross is an emblem of a living sacrifice. The living Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. He became a living sacrifice. By his blood, we are saved. And he asked us to do the same. He says, present your body as a living sacrifice. In other words, take up your cross. And prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we're to do that voluntarily. And we're to do it totally. And we're to do it irrevocably. And you say, why? Because it's a matter of stewardship. When you make this sacrifice, look at verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. When you make this sacrifice, you're not being conformed to this world. You're being conformed to God's world. And he goes on, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you make this kind of sacrifice, you can't help but have your mind transformed. It's a matter of stewardship. And you need to recognize that God wants to be at work in you. He wants to accomplish something through you. When you have that new mind and you're transformed, you can easily recognize your spiritual gift. True humility says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And don't insult God like some do by saying you don't have a gift of grace. True humility is not denying God's gift. Friend, you're saved by grace, amen? And then Jesus come into your heart, it means you're grace-filled, amen? And that means we need to be graceful. True humility is not denying God's gift of grace. For any one of us to deny the grace gift in our lives is nothing more than unbelief and rebellion against Almighty God, to fail to use our grace gift, to encourage, to exhort others in and out of the body of Christ is nothing more than a tragic waste. You and I have a blessed message, don't we? Jesus saves. And we can encourage anybody if we just put it to work. And to not put it to work is poor stewardship of the grace that God has so abundantly blessed us with. And remember, one day we're all going to give an answer. And you know, I'm going to stand before God one day. And it's a little different for the preacher than it will be for you. Because I've got to give an account not only for myself, but for everybody I've ever pastored. And there's a whole lot of people. And Hebrews will tell you all about that. 13th chapter, just in case you're wondering. But you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account for you. And you can't bring the pastor with you. And you can't bring your husband or your wife, your son or your daughter. It's just going to be you and God in that moment. How many of you want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? I know I do. And I know you do too. Look with me at verses 3, 4, and 5. "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." How many of you would agree that's a problem in far too many churches? And then he says, "But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body." Now I want you to look around tonight. We're one body. But as you look around, there's a whole lot of people here tonight. There's many members, aren't there? "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. And so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. What I do is going to affect you. And what you do is going to affect me. And not only that, what you do is going to affect one another. And that's just how it works, because we're one body. And so, who do we belong to? And many people say, "I belong to Jesus." And that's true, but friend, you belong to one another as well in this church. We are one body in Christ. And it's in this context of the body that various members discover their function. A hand severed from the body is useless. That means the gifts are best discovered in the fellowship of the church. Get active in the church, and you won't have anything to complain about. And there are four principles I want to share with you very quickly tonight that seem to operate in the context of active church membership. When you learn to accept yourself, when you learn to be yourself and give of yourself to the fellowship of the church, you're going to discover your spiritual gift, because a child of God is naturally supernatural. The first of those principles is enjoyment. And the enjoyment comes as a result of you having a sense of doing what feels natural. I just love to preach the gospel, and you know why? Because it's natural. I'm not a deacon. I don't know how to deacon, but I sure do know how to preach. And I can't sing. That's Marty's job. And man, can he sing. And I'm so thankful for him. And Joyce is down there. She's doing all that secretarial stuff. And we got people downstairs tonight doing cooking stuff. And I can't cut hair, but Joyce Monk sure can. And God has given each of us a ministry. And so when you put that thing to work, you find enjoyment because you're doing what feels natural. And it's so much fun to use the gift. And you recognize that, man, God, you have given us this privilege. And it is a privilege. Because without your grace, we would not be in the positions that we are in. But for the grace of God. And the second principle is encouragement. And others in the church will recognize your giftedness. You know, not too long ago, we ordained Robert to be, he's our newest deacon. And many of you have been through that. But what was it that caused the church to choose Robert? The church recognized that he had a gift, just as he did for those who have been deacons for a long time. And you had your time when the church recognized that you had a gift to be a deacon or a teacher or something else. Friends, the mouth has no problem recognizing the hand that feeds it, does it? Conversely, it's sad to see someone who has a spiritual gift and they won't use it. Don't ever forget, the third principle is enablement. Don't ever forget the God who has called you, has enabled you, that you might serve Him. Do you know how to develop a spiritual gift? You got to exercise it. If you don't exercise it, we all know what goes on with the physical body. If you don't use it, you what? That's right. Same thing with a spiritual gift. You got to exercise that thing. God enables those whom He calls. And the fourth principle is enlightenment. And this is the mystical part of this whole of it all. The Holy Spirit says amen in your heart to confirm your gift in ministry. You have a sense of cooperating with the Lord. And there's no greater joy than to know that you're cooperating with God. And as part of the body, you'll receive impulses from the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how does all of this work in the context of our text tonight, Romans 6 through 8? Well, I want to give you just an illustration, if you will. But let's look at these verses again. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Well, I want you to imagine tonight you're at a party. And you've had a nice dinner. And now they're getting ready to serve the dessert. And the person bringing in this beautiful dessert suddenly trips. And they drop the tray. They fall. And listen, that beautiful dessert isn't quite so beautiful anymore as it's lying there on the floor. And so as you can imagine, some drama begins to take place. And here's how the differing gifts may come into practice. The person who has the gift of prophecy says, well, that's what happens when you're not careful. The person with the gift of mercy says, now don't feel bad about that. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody trips. Everybody can fall. Could happen to anybody. The person with the gift of service says, well, let me get the mop. Let me help you clean that up. Here, I'll take care of that. And the person with the gift of teaching says, well, you know, I think the reason that it fell, and I think you'd have to admit this, is that you had it too far to the one side. If you'd had all that stuff centered up when you tripped, it probably would have stayed on the tray. You just need to be more careful next time. And then the person with the gift of encouragement says, well, from now on, why don't we just put the dessert in the middle of the table before the meal? That way it can't ever fall off the tray. And the person with the gift of giving says, here's what I'm going to do. Don't worry about all this. I'm just going to run down the store and buy us all a brand new dessert. It'll be all right. And the person with the gift of administration, they say, you know, George, you get the mop. Joyce, you start picking it up. Ham, could you go and fix us another dessert? You see how all these gifts work in the body of Christ? In unison, in harmony. And they work together. Because each one who has a spiritual gift is a gifted child of God. And God doesn't want any of us going to church just to sit, soak, and sour. And if that's how you come to church, if you come to church looking for something to complain about, you're going to find it. You can start with me. Or you can start with somebody else. But if you want to find something to complain about at church, you're going to find it. But if you want to employ your gift, you're going to find enjoyment. You're going to find encouragement. You're going to find enablement. You're going to find enlightenment. And you're going to find growth. And you're going to look up. And you're going to say, thank you, God, for the grace that you have given me. Thank you, God, for filling me with your grace. Thank you, God, for the gift you've given me that I might be graceful in the eyes of God. What a great God we have. Amen. Well, Father, tonight we just want to thank you for your mercy and your grace. In the joy that you give us in Jesus. And Lord, I often think about that word joy. And we're living in a world where so many people don't seem to have any joy. But Lord, if we think about it, joy is Jesus, and then it's others, and then it's ourselves, or yourself. Lord, help us to always look to you first, to others second, and to ourselves last, that we might be a source of grace and encouragement wherever we are as a child, a gifted child of the living God. In Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, friend, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And I don't know what God is asking you, but you do. We're going to sing a verse. Would you respond? What is it that you need to pray about tonight? What's heaviest on your heart? And the Bible reminds us that we're to cast all our cares upon Him. So don't leave here tonight carrying loads you were never meant to carry. Just turn it over to Him. Amen?